Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, October is Women's Small Business Month, celebrating the more than 13 million female entrepreneurs who are contributing trillions to the economy and paving the way for the next generation to do even more. Hard to believe it's week number 9 of high school football. The Trojans will play their final home game of the season tonight against Whitmer. We'll get a preview. The Halloween candy that will make yours the most popular house in the neighborhood. And why should kids have all the fun? We have some treats for the grown-ups as well, along with another collection of recipes perfect for those chilly autumn days from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, October 18th, 2024. So here is the story. It is research out of the University of Sydney, Australia. They found that standing for 2 hours or more daily increases the risk of circulatory disease. You get things like blood clots in your legs. So this is certainly, it's unique because for years we thought, you know, sitting too much would be bad for your health for the same reason. Basically, what they're saying in this new research, though, is that standing for too long will not offset an otherwise sedentary lifestyle and could in and of itself be risky. They analyzed data from over 83,000 adults and found that sitting for 10 hours daily increased the risk of heart and circulatory diseases, but standing also increased the risk of circulatory disease. So you talk about you can't win. I guess we should just not even bother to get out of bed. Sitting is dangerous. Standing is dangerous. Maybe we just stay in bed all day. Maybe that's the, yeah. What they are suggesting is movement throughout the day and structured exercise as opposed to long periods of either sitting or standing. But the delicious irony in this is for anyone who went out and bought one of those really expensive stand-up desks to do your right. Do you remember? Actually, of course, during the pandemic, when people are outfitting their homes with home offices so they could work remotely, and people went out and bought all of these stand-up desks or the adjustable desks where you could sit or stand, thinking that that would be healthier than just sitting all day. As it turns out, nope. Just well, it was healthier to the bottom line of the office supply people, I guess. That's for didn't necessarily do much for the rest of us, as it turns out. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day to get your Friday morning started. The Ohio Secretary of State's office says more than 500,000 voters have already cast their ballots in the November election. Since early voting began, about 169,000 absentee ballots have been returned, and another 382,000 people have participated in early in-person voting. The latest polling, of course, shows that the Buckeye State is firmly in the red category. Former President Trump has a 7-point lead over Vice President Harris. But the U.S. Senate race, which everyone is watching, not just in Ohio, but around the country, because it could be a key race in Republicans' efforts to flip the Senate. Sherrod Brown and Bernie Moreno is a toss-up in the latest polling. But that is all polling. It's not reflective necessarily of early voting. We don't know how people have voted. We won't know until election night, but about 500,000 people have already cast their ballots. My wife was talking about just casting a ballot. She said to me the other day, I'm just going to vote early and get it over with. She said, I'm just so tired of hearing about the election. I'm tired of all of the advertising. I'm just going to vote early and be done with it. And I had a reminder that you're still not going to be able to escape all of the political ads, all of the talk. You can vote early if you want, but it's not going to make you immune from all of the noise of the election campaigning these last couple of weeks. So it's not like that all goes away. By the way, speaking of the election, former President Trump was at the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner yesterday evening. This is a big benefit, a charitable event for New York Catholic Charities, hosted by comedian Jim Gaffigan. Mr. Trump addressed the crowd, said he was just happy to show up anywhere without a subpoena. And it's one of those... it's one of those like the White House correspondence dinner where the presidential candidates generally show up and take good natured jabs at each other and at themselves. It's kind of a bit of a roast, if you will, pre-election. And but Kamala Harris wasn't there. Donald Trump was there saying he was happy to show up anywhere without a subpoena. He called Vice President Harris very disrespectful for not making an appearance. Jim Gaffigan, the host of the event, also heavily criticized the VP for not attending. Now, Ms. Harris did address the crowd with a pre-recorded video message where she made several jokes about Donald Trump in a skit with comedian Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live, who reprised her role as the Catholic schoolgirl on SNL, you remember from years ago. So the vice president said that Jesus was the fact checker for the night. So that's her big one line. She was spending the day campaigning in Wisconsin, so a big swing state. Kamala Harris, the first presidential nominee to not attend the Al Smith dinner in decades. Walter Mondale was the last to skip the dinner in 1984, and of course it worked out so well for him. So, although to be fair, I don't know that skipping the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner was the reason that Walter Mondale lost the 1984 presidential election. I don't think anything could have helped that campaign, whether he was at the dinner or not. But he didn't win New York, so in that year either. This is big news, very big news. Maybe the most important story you will hear today. As the late Paul Harvey used to be fond of saying, this day's news of most lasting significance could be this. After much fanfare, the chicken Big Mac has finally arrived in the United States. Now, this has been a culinary treat on McDonald's menus in Europe for years, the chicken Big Mac, but only now is it arriving in this country. And I guess people have been clamoring for this. I didn't even know it existed, but fast food connoisseurs have been clamoring for this for years. And now that it is here, fans are divided. It is basically two huge chicken McNuggets replacing the beef patties, according to one taste tester on X. Some diners prefer the McChicken sandwich, which is seasoned differently than the chicken Big Mac. But this was kind of interesting. Alyssa Rose, who is the daughter of Howie Rose, happens to be the Mets announcer, the New York Mets announcer. She went on social media saying she loves the chicken Big Mac, calling it the greatest culinary creation of our time. No hyperbole here. I'm not sure the chicken Big Mac would fall into that category, the greatest culinary creation of our time. But if you want to check it out, apparently it is now available. Is it available nationwide or is it only in select cities? I know usually that's the way they roll out new products. It's only available in select markets. I don't know if it's available everywhere, but you can ask. Next time you're at McDonald's, Mickey D's, the Chicken Big Mac. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know this morning, if you are looking for something to do this weekend, the Ohio Bat Festival is going on in, let's see here. Oh, is this Columbus? Yeah, it is in Columbus at the Nationwide and Ohio Farm Bureau 4-H Center on Fred Taylor Drive near the Schottenstein Center. The third annual Ohio Bat Festival. It is from noon to 5 tomorrow. Guests of all ages are invited to learn about bats from experts in, I guess, bat science. Yeah, we're talking about the flying mammals. We're not talking about the utensils that baseball players use. No, these are bats. I mean, it is Halloween, I guess, so that makes sense. Third annual Ohio Bat Festival. So bat experts, presentations on bats, and you can see real live bats in person. And there will be various activities for the kids as well. Admission is free, so it won't even cost you anything. The Ohio Bat Festival. No, thank you. There you go. First things you need to know to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected again today with a high in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, low around 40. The Findlay Police Department says a suspect in multiple commercial break-ins over the last few weeks has been arrested. The police department says plainclothes units were conducting surveillance on a residence on State Route 12 just west of Findlay when the suspect left the residence in a vehicle heading westbound at a high rate of speed. The plainclothes units continued to follow the suspect until his vehicle sustained a flat tire and he was forced to stop. The officers had an arrest warrant for the man and he was taken into custody. A search warrant was then obtained for his home and several items of evidentiary value were located in the home, according to police. The suspect was booked at the Hancock County Jail on two charges of breaking and entering. The community is invited to an open house for the new state-of-the-art first responder training facility in Findlay. Mayor Christina Murn says the community has been incredibly supportive of the project.
We've had gifts as small as $1,000 up to $150,000 from a family. We've had corporations contribute. We've had the community foundation step up. We had Millstream students help build the search house. We had so many different partners to really make this project happen.
The STRIC Center, which stands for Simulated Tactical Response and Incident Command Training, is located behind Fire Station 4 on County Road 236. The open house will run from 10 to 1 on Saturday. The Tiffin Police Department says it's making a change in how it handles misdemeanor theft offenses. It says after careful consideration and discussions with city officials, it's decided to implement a short-term strategy that shifts towards making physical arrests for the offenses rather than issuing a summons and releasing the offender. The police department says the decision to shift to physical arrests reflects a commitment to proactively addressing the rise in theft-related incidents in the community. The department says it understands that each case is unique and the goal isn't to punish unnecessarily, but rather to instill a stronger sense of responsibility. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
October is National Women's Small Business Month. In 1972, there were a little over 400,000 women-owned businesses in the U.S. Until 1988, women needed a male relative to co-sign if they wanted to apply for a business loan. But then the Women's Business Ownership Act came along and increased the Small Business Administration's access to capital to provide financial assistance to organizations geared toward women-owned small businesses. And today, there are over 13 million women-owned businesses and counting. One of those is run by our next guest. Jamika Miller is the CEO of FBM, Finances by Mika. And Mika, you transitioned actually from the modeling industry to become a financial educator and advisor. What inspired you to make that change?
Yeah, Chris. So my journey from modeling to financial educator was very personal. After a life-altering accident, I was forced to rethink my future and my financial security. Modeling has given me some freedom, but it lacked long-term stability. It was during my recovery that I realized how unprepared I was for the future financially, and that's what sparked my interest in this field. I wanted to make sure others, especially those in industries like mine, didn't face the same uncertainties. Now, my approach is deeply rooted in teaching people to take control of their finances so they can live freely with choices and security. My personal experience drives me to make financial education accessible and meaningful so no one feels trapped by their circumstances.
And you have a focus in particular on helping women achieve financial freedom?
Absolutely. That is my focus. But, you know, I'm always, always open to helping men as well.
And what strategies do you use? Because it's still, even today, and we talk about all the advancements that have been made, and you are living proof of how far we've come, but there's still a long ways to go. What strategies do you use to make financial education accessible and easy to understand for the individuals that you work with, particularly women?
Well, financial literacy can definitely seem intimidating at first, but I focus on breaking things down in a way that's relatable and easy to grasp. I use real life examples, especially from my own journey, to show how financial tools concepts apply to everyday life. I also make sure to meet people where they are, focusing on what matters most to them, whether that's protecting their family, growing their business, or achieving a sense of freedom. I believe in keeping things simple, being transparent, and always empowering people to ask questions. Financial education shouldn't be something people fear. It should be something they feel empowered by.
Yeah. As we mentioned, it's National Women's Small Business Month, and you work closely with entrepreneurs and small business owners. I know. What are some of the key challenges, financial challenges that they face, and how do you help them overcome those?
Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges entrepreneurs face is managing risk while also planning for growth. So many business owners are so focused on running their day-to-day operations that they don't take the time to think about protecting their business or planning for the future. I help them implement strategies that protect their assets, minimize taxes, and create a financial cushion so they can focus on growing without worry. Whether it's setting up insurance policies for key members of the business or using tax shelters to protect their profits, my goal is to provide solutions and give business owners peace of mind and room to grow.
You were talking a little bit earlier about the about your experience and what led you to make this change and start down this path of doing what you do now. How has that, you talk about the ways that you use that as a real world example, a real world story to relate to your clients. How has that experience influenced your perspective when it comes to financial planning?
Well, the accident, Chris, was truly a wake-up call for me. Before that, I didn't think much about financial planning or the importance of certain protections. But when you face something so sudden and life-changing, it makes you realize how vulnerable you can be. That experience shifted my entire outlook. I realized that we can't predict the future, but we can prepare for it. And certain policies and tools became a way for me to ensure that no matter what happened, I'd be able to protect the people I love and secure my future. That's why I'm so passionate about what I do now, helping others realize that planning isn't just for the distant future, but it's for right now.
Is that really the message that resonates with people through your story? Hey, if it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone. And I especially when I think about women and financial planning, it seems like women are always thinking of the others in their life, their kids, their spouse, and what have you. And that aspect of preparing not only for themselves, but everybody who depends on them, I would imagine that resonates pretty strongly.
Absolutely, it does.
So what advice would you give to someone who is considering breaking away. Again, relating back to the fact that it is National Women's Small Business Month, and there are untold opportunities for women entrepreneurs. What advice would you give to someone who is considering kind of doing what you did, but maybe not by necessity, by choice, breaking away from whatever traditional employment experience they have to pursue a path of something new and perhaps unknown?
My advice is simple, Chris. Don't wait for the perfect moment. There's never a right time to make a big change. But if you're dreaming of something bigger and more fulfilling, you owe it to yourself to take that step. Start educating yourself about the options that are out there, especially in fields like financial services, where you can not only build wealth, but also create flexibility in your life. It's scary, but it's also incredibly empowering. Surround yourself with mentors, take a small but consistent step, and trust that you're capable of building something that gives you freedom, not just financially, but in how you live your life every day.
I'm curious, for you, had it not been for the accident, could you imagine doing what you are doing today? Do you think something would have led you down the path ultimately that you are on now?
Well, Chris, I would have said no maybe a year ago, but honestly, I was working in a different sector in finances prior to my accident.
Okay.
And maybe it would have eventually been there. But honestly, the accident was a big, big realization of,
yeah,
no, I need to do this to get into this.
Yeah. So. Jamika Miller, again, is CEO of FBM, Finances by Mika. Hey, where do folks learn more about the resources, your story, and how you approach this?
Absolutely. They can find me on my Instagram at Mika Miller or financesbymika.com.
Very good. Terrific story again for Women's Small Business Month. Jamika Miller, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Your football forecast tonight. Might want to grab a jacket. It's going to be a really nice day, but a little cool when we get to game time. We'll be in the low 60s at kickoff, and then mid to upper 50s at halftime, low 50s at the end of the game. So, perfect football weather, and it's hard to believe it's week number 9 already. The Trojans will play their final home game of the season this evening. Finley being the playoffs, but most likely on the road. I think they're in 10th place in Region 1 right now, so even if they were to win out, I don't know if they would be able to make up enough points to have a home game in any event. So most likely it is the final home game of the season against Whitmer this evening. And of course, coming off a costly loss to Perrysburg earlier this week on the Coach's Corner, John Marshall spoke with head coach Stephen Adams.
You knew it would be tough against a team that's undefeated this deep in the season, but things didn't go just exactly as planned.
Yeah, no, I think we're definitely disappointed in the way it all went down. Obviously, we want to wish for more and want the best and want to win that game. I thought coming into it, we felt pretty good, you know, about what we had game planned for. And then things just didn't go our way. I mean, but hats off to them. I think they came out super, super excited and eager to get a win back against us after last year. They didn't like how that felt. They felt maybe we out-physicaled them and, you know, came back on them after being down 0-14. And they brought everything they had and were, you know, the more focused team that night and the more physical team, I should say. And obviously having another quarterback go down with an injury definitely kind of puts a damper in things, but you got to keep playing, right? Got to keep playing. So the beauty in this game, and maybe a lot of people can't understand, there's a beauty in struggle and the fact that, you know what, like, we can go back and a lot of things that we look at can be fixed and figure out how to go out and perform to the best of our ability the next time. You know, we knew this three-game stretch between Anthony Wayne, Perrysburg, and Whitmer that, you know, you need a back that can break a tackle. Not everything's going to be picture perfect. Not everything's going to be great. And we've kind of struggled in that area as far as being able to be elusive, break a tackle, you know, maybe make that play. When both teams are even at a point of attack, You know, you need somebody that can break a tackle, or the other team saying, we need guys that can tackle. We just haven't been able to break that big run in the run game. So that's something, that we're just not there right now.
So you have to put that one behind you because you host Whitmer. The Panthers down a bit, but what will it take to get a good result this week against Whitmer?
I think just being extremely focused coming out right away, making sure we're one play at a time, you know, making sure that we win kind of the things that need to be won, right? You know, we got to take care of the ball. We can't turn the ball over. We did that early in the game last week. We have to be extremely sound in our in our rush defense. You know, they really lean on their defensive guy or their offensive line very heavily. They have some guys that are explosive on the outside, but at the end of the day, the soul of their an identity of their offense is being able to run that ball. So we're going to have to match physicality with physicality, be in the right spot, and then when the opportunity to make a play happens, we have to make that play.
You're a guaranteed a playoff berth now. It's a matter of how you do in these last two games to determine your seeding and how high your opponent will be.
Yep.
So you still have lots to play for.
Yeah, lots to play for. You know, we can get hot. You know, there are teams. If you look at as far as kind of the region goes and some of these playoff games, at least in my time, there's always one or two teams that get hot at the right time, get people healthy, you know, are firing on all cylinders, and then go make a decent run. So, you know, we still think that's something that's very realistic within our own control, and that's the game plan that we plan on doing, but it's going to be one game at a time and getting better one game at a time.
That's all you can do. You get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen, and it'll be the Trojans and Whitmer tonight. By the way, Landon Eckleberry, from what I understand, is fine. He will play tonight, from what I am told, so certainly good news there for the Trojans. Now, it's kind of a unique situation because the Guardians are playing the Yankees game four of the American League Championship Series tonight. And due to contractual obligations with Major League Baseball, we will have that game on the air this evening. So if you're going to be at Donnell Stadium, you can put your headphones in, put your earbuds in, and pay attention to the Guardians game at the same time. We will carry the Guardians and Whitmer streaming only online at WFIN.com. And that coverage begins at 6:10 tonight with Tonight in High School Football, followed by Whitmer and the Trojans, again, streaming only. The rest of the area coverage across our family of stations on 100.5 WKXA and WKXA.com. It's BVC action. Lipsick is at Arlington and over on 106.3 The Fox and 106.3 The Fox. .com. OG is at Shawnee this evening, and you can follow all of the action around the area on the WFIN scoreboard page, powered by ScoreStream and presented by Owens Community College. Go to WFIN.com/scoreboard, and we also have a link posted at goodmornings.net. Well, who doesn't love Halloween season? If you want to make sure that yours is the most popular stop in the neighborhood on trick-or-treat night, Kroger Corporate Affairs Manager Mark Bruce is with us this morning, and you have a list of Ohio's favorite candies for Halloween. What is at the top of that list, Mark?
Drumroll, please. M&M's variety bags, top of the list. Probably not a surprise. Everybody loves M&M's, especially when you pull into the peanuts and peanut butter and everything that. Number two, probably pretty reasonable too, Reese's peanut butter pumpkins. There's something, right? The pumpkins taste better for some reason.
Exactly. You got to have the pumpkins.
That's right. Third on the list, Snickers, maybe the most popular candy bar there is. Fourth is one of those just good varieties bags from Mars, which includes M&M's, Twix, all those. And then fifth, you got to get your lollipops on there. The Tootsie Caramel Apple Pops, top five candies in Kroger's Columbus division. And we sell a lot of candy every year, so we know what Ohioans like.
It really is not a surprise. I mean, that was one that when I had kids, I discovered just how much they love those pops because they were just absolutely in demand. Now, the variety bag, as you mentioned, that's where you kind of get the Twix and the Three Musketeers and Milky Way. So they're actually more than five in the top five. And it's hard to go wrong with any of those. But I'm thinking you also might think about going against the crowd because there are some good ones that aren't in the top five. I mean, you've got your Skittles and your Twizzlers and your Wonka candies like the Nerds and all. You could zig while everyone else. You could zig while everyone else zags.
You could be the most popular on the block. You could even add some Kroger branded candies this year. That's right. We have some Kroger brand. We call them Frankenropes. They're chewy Halloween candy. They're really good. I had some the other day.
So, okay.
And obviously a little bit of a price break because it's something that Kroger makes. So, there are lots of options. We are your source for Halloween candy. So have fun. That's the most important thing with it, right, Chris, is be able to have fun this Halloween season.
Absolutely. And even better than that is segues nicely. I was looking at the Halloween blog post on your website. You've got some great ideas for some adult treats as well, because why should kids have all the fun? You've got some like cocktail pairings with some of your favorite candies.
Absolutely. Kroger.com has some great ideas, not just your normal everyday recipes, right? We have so many great fun ideas for the holidays. One of them is, pair your favorite candy, like that peanut butter pumpkin, with a Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It's really, really good. And it really tastes good, too. It makes a great pairing. You could also do this really fun thing with a Twix bar. It's a spiderweb blood orange cooler. Try to use some black gel icing to make that spiderweb on the inside of a cocktail glass.
Okay.
You can just have so much fun doing, having some adult fun themed things in there as well. But making it, in the season and festive. So lots of great ideas on Kroger.com to do that.
Yeah, I really like the Kit Kat haunted hot chocolate pairing, which just sounds great, especially on some of these cooler nights like what we have had. So, and those are on your website. By the way, we'll also get this plug in. You have a special deal, a digital coupon on Halloween candy this weekend. So if you're stocking up for trick or treat, this is the time to do it.
Absolutely. 25% off all Halloween candy. You need to download the digital coupon through the Kroger app, but 25% off all Halloween candy. That's a great way to stock up. That's the 18th through the 20th. We have lots of other great savings that you can always find in the Kroger app, but that's the big one. So for sure, if you haven't got your Halloween candy yet, stock up this weekend. Great opportunity to do it.
There you go. Kroger Corporate Affairs Manager Mark Bruce with us this morning with Ohio's favorite candies for Halloween and some terrific pairings for the grown-ups as well. We'll get a link up on our webpage for that as well. Hey, Mark, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with you, Chris. Have a great day.
Keeping with the Halloween spirit, the folks at Fox Run Manor are hosting a trunk or treat event coming up here real soon. Aaron Ryder is with us with all of the details. Aaron, thanks very much for dropping by. What is the date for your trunk or treat event here?
Yeah, it's going to be Friday, October 25th,
okay,
from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
All right. And everybody is invited. This is open to the public. It's going to be an awful lot of fun for all.
Yeah, dope. Everybody's invited. We're going to have food trucks. We're going to have competitions for best trunk decorations,
okay,
best costume for adults and children.
All right.
We're still encouraging more trunks. So if you're a local business and want to promote your services, or if you just want to have a trunk to decorate for the kids, that would be great too.
And it's a great way to encourage everyone to come out. It's really great for the residents there at Fox Run.
Oh, yeah,
as
and that's
well,
definitely the main reason why we love to host it is for our residents to see all the kiddos dressed up in their costumes and just enjoy that interaction with the community. So the more we get, the better it'll be for them.
And that is such an important part of what you do, to make sure that there is still that connection, still that feeling of being part of the community and part of all of these celebrations, because we all talk about how much fun it is trick-or-treat time at Halloween time, and maybe there are folks who can't get out the way they once used to. This is still a chance for them to still feel a part of all of that.
Oh, definitely. And that's one of the most important reasons why we would like to do this there at Fox Run Manor.
Talk about the importance of that from even a therapy standpoint and enhancing quality of life.
Yeah, that social interaction is extremely important. And if you've already got some plans, throughout the holiday season and going to these trick-or-treats, it's just another date and opportunity for your kids to put their costumes on. And it's literally a win-win for everybody.
It is probably not a very tough sell job to tell your kids, hey, we're going to dress up again and we're going to get more candy. So,
use that tool if you need to.
Absolutely. Like you said, it's not just the candy. You got food trucks, and it is a whole celebration there.
Yeah, yep, and it's going to be a great turnout, and we really just encourage everybody to come out, have a great time, enjoy everything, and Look forward to seeing everybody.
So that is coming up on Friday the 25th. What are the hours?
From 5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30. And hopefully everyone will come on out and make it a great evening for all involved and get creative there with the Trunk or Treat. Perfect event for the community. You've got more information on the website? For it?
Yeah, check us out on our Fox Run Manor Facebook page for any more details on that.
Again, Aaron Ryder with Fox Run Manor. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So, kind of a light day in the broken news this morning. We have a collection of stories here, a little bit of a different vibe than some of the regular stories that we have. For example, we have a story about a lawsuit that has been filed in Minnesota on behalf of owners of a certain robotic vacuum cleaner. You've seen these robot vacuum cleaners. This one is the Ecovacs D-Bot X2, where owners apparently are reporting strange incidents because they are susceptible to hacking. This is weird. Attorney Daniel Swenson, he's from Minnesota, claims that his device started shouting racial slurs in front of one of his children. The robot started shouting racial slurs. He said someone hacked into the device and was able to access its camera and remote settings. Mr. Swenson also expressed concerns over someone potentially using the camera to invade his family's privacy. Ecovacs, for their part, has claimed that it has resolved a vulnerability that allowed hackers to access users' PIN codes, but he's not necessarily convinced. And so is the lawsuit, has it been filed or is he just considering it? I'm not sure. But if you have one of these, be aware that they can be hacked. So... let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from the International File, fans making their way home following a concert by pop singer Olivia Rodrigo in Melbourne, Australia, got a little bit more than they were bargaining for after the concert. As they were making their way home, apparently, extensive flooding shut down a pair of train stations, causing lengthy delays for people who were relying on public transit to make their way home from the concert. Flooded train stations, but it didn't have anything to do with the weather. As it turns out, according to the Minister for Transport Infrastructure in Australia, Danny Pearson, told reporters at a press briefing that what was originally believed to be an accident or maybe even an act of vandalism was in reality caused by an amorous couple in a stairwell that dislodged the sprinkler. An amorous couple in the stairwell dislodged the sprinkler and flooded a pair of train stations. Stranded everybody after the concert. Now that's embarrassing. They just ducked into the stairwell hoping they wouldn't get caught. Oops! The damage caused extensive flooding to several platforms of the train, and that resulted in an automated evacuation of both Melbourne Central and Flagstaff Railway stations, according to police there in Melbourne. The couple were caught on surveillance video, and police now are trying to identify them and track them down. Oh, but man, you would have a story to tell, wouldn't you? In other broken news items here, of course, in Florida, they are still recovering from the hurricanes, Helene and Milton and all of that. In some cases, it's not exactly going smoothly. Kenneth Ray Velasco is charged with threatening to shoot electric company linemen who were working to restore power after the hurricanes. Mr. Velasco threatened to shoot the linemen. Now, why would he do that? Well, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, Mr. Velasco was growing impatient with a traffic delay as power line crews were in the road working to clear the roadway of the lines and get power restored. And they were backing up traffic, and he grew rather frustrated. So he backed his car into a utility pole and then threatened to shoot the crew members, the linesmen working. That's nice. That's nice. The sheriff of Hillsborough County, Chad Cronister, says for a person to threaten these workers all because of a traffic delay shows a disturbing lack of regard for the safety of others. Mr. Velasco faces charges of assault and felony criminal mischief. Would think so. This is a little unusual. Again, not the normal kind of story for the broken news, but interesting nonetheless. A source at Meta, the giant tech company behind Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's company, Meta. Source at the company has reported that about 24 of the tech giant's LA-based employees have been let go for abusing meal perks on the job. So apparently, for workers of Meta who work long hours late into the evening quite frequently, they have a perk. It's a meal perk. It is intended for when staffers are working late and in need of a bite to eat. So they pay, the company pays for them, to get takeout or delivery or something like that. But apparently these companies, about 24 employees of the company, were using their daily food delivery allowance to buy non-food items like laundry detergent and acne pads. One of the fired employees tried to defend herself, saying, "On days when I would not be eating at the office, like if my husband was cooking or if I was grabbing dinner with friends, I figured I ought not to waste the dinner credit." But the company was not moved to say, "No, that's not what it's for. I didn't want to waste it." Yeah, no, that's... And finally, she didn't think she was doing anything wrong. That's the crazy part. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this actually was supposedly a serious story, but it kind of gave me a chuckle. A Fall Run Chinook salmon has returned to a tributary on the Klamath River in Oregon. It is the first salmon to make the 230-mile swim since the dam on the Klamath River was built in 1912. Four dams on the river have actually been removed, clearing the way for the salmon to return. Because they haven't had the salmon, and environmentally they removed the dams so that the salmon would return. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Klamath tribes are working to monitor the return of the salmon. So it's the Chinook salmon they have spotted. They are hoping to find coho salmon, steelhead, and Pacific lamprey as they move upriver. So a real big environmental win. I just think they're a big environmental win in the state of Oregon. Just make sure that they don't have 12 of them in the river at the same time. You know what I mean. Yeah, the right number. Don't try and sneak an extra salmon into the river there. There you go. because, you know, it is Oregon, so they might try that. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update, the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Join WFIN for live coverage of the 2024 Cops and Kids Finley Halloween Parade, presented by Loan Depot. Our broadcast begins Tuesday night at 7.
Parade coverage on WFIN, presented by Visit Findlay and brought to you in part by Wolfie's, Fort Findlay FOP Lodge, Logan's Irish Pub, and T.R. Williams Insurance.
The Halloween Parade is live on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. This is the time of year when many of us kind of get wrapped up in those spooky stories, maybe the murder mysteries or the true crime stories. Yeah, the podcasts or the documentaries on TV about unsolved crimes and cold cases. And if you are among those who kind of get into those types of stories, right? The true crime, mystery, that kind of thing. How do you think you would do as a real life sleuth? Do you think these stories have made you a better detective? According to a new survey of 2,000 lovers of spooky genres like this, it was commissioned by Thrift Books. They found that 61% of horror, mystery, and true crime readers believe that they could, in fact, crack a real-life whodunit. Even if the cops, even if the professionals have been stumped for years and years, two-thirds of us think, yeah, we could figure it out. We could crack the crime. We could crack the mystery. 41% on the horror side of things, 41% believe that they would survive in a horror story, a real life horror story. 41% believe that they would be one of the survivors. Men more confident in their survival skills than women, incidentally. It was 51% for the guys compared to 37% for the women, believe that they would survive if they were suddenly find themselves in a real life horror story. On the other hand, 12% say that they would probably be the victim in a scary book or something like that. 12% say, yeah, I would probably be the victim, not the one who cracks the case. I would be the victim. 12%. And this I thought was kind of interesting, goes along to it. I think we can all relate to this. After reading some sort of spooky book, whether it's a horror story or a mystery, true crime, you know, unsolved mystery, whatever. After reading one of these spooky stories, 21% admit that they have checked under the bed. it's not just for kids anymore. Grown-ups, we're checking under the bed, 21%. 20% have refused to answer the door. When you hear a knock at the door, when the doorbell rings, 1 in 5 say, I'm not answering that. I have to admit that I have actually done that. I'm not answering that. And 1/3, 33%, admit that after reading a spooky book or a spooky story, something like that, 33% have slept with the lights on. Once again, as is customary to finish up the week, my wife Kyra has joined us in the studio with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. And here this morning, a collection of, they're very autumn-themed cookies.
Yes.
Very autumn-themed
easy
recipes.
Yeah.
We do have a cookie recipe. And it's good stuff for those chilly autumn days.
Yes.
I know it's going to be nice this weekend and pretty nice next week, but we had a taste of it.
We had a taste and I didn't like it.
We had a taste of it this week for sure.
Person.
Yeah. So to start off the recipes this morning, we have a one pot cheesy taco orzo.
Yes. So okay. This is really good.
It is really good. This is excellent.
Yeah. And it was really good heated up too.
Reheated?
So, yeah. Yep. So 1 pound of ground beef, 1 small onion chopped, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 2 cups of orzo uncooked, 1 packet of taco seasoning, 2.5 cups of chicken broth, low sodium, salt and pepper to taste, 1 cup of cheddar cheese shredded, 1 cup of mozzarella cheese shredded, and taco toppings, which are optional.
Yeah, whatever taco toppings you
want. Sour cream, you know, whatever you want on lettuce, whatever you want on top, if you want it on top. So add the ground beef to a large iron skillet and brown it over medium-high heat, breaking up as you go along. Add the chopped onion and the garlic to the skillet. Cook until the beef is brown. And then add your dry orzo, your taco seasoning. Mix that up and turn the heat down to medium-low. Stir that a little bit more. Then add your chicken broth, your taco seasoning, and your salt and pepper if needed. I did not because that taco seasoning has quite a bit of salt in
it. Even the low sodium taco
which
seasoning,
which is what we use.
It has quite a bit of salt. Yes. Yeah. So especially if you're trying to cut down on your sodium intake, you don't want to add a whole lot of additional salt there for sure.
Then cook for about 10 to 12 minutes or until all the liquid is absorbed, stirring occasionally. Then after that, stir in your cheese, remove from the heat, preheat your oven to 350 degrees, top with a little bit more cheddar cheese, place in your preheated oven for about 20 minutes.
So again, you're going to do it on the cooktop,
right?
On the range, and then pop it in the oven.
Pop in the oven
to finish up.
Yeah, finish up. Take out the oven, let it cool for about 5 minutes, add your favorite toppings, and enjoy.
Good stuff. Yes. It is very, very
good. It's really good. And like I said, it's good heated up too. And I had some.
I can imagine, yeah.
I had some nachos, and I just kind of, it was really good.
Some nachos on there, and it's good stuff.
Yep.
The one pot cheesy taco orzo.
Yep.
We have a recipe for easy pumpkin cornbread.
Yes.
Pumpkin cornbread.
So this is with your Jiffy cornbread mix. So 1 8.5 ounce of Jiffy cornbread, 1 cup of canned pumpkin. You want the puree, 1/4 cup of butter melted, 1/4 cup of milk, 1 egg, and 1/4 cup of sugar. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Grease your 8x10-inch baking pan in a mixing bowl. I would use my iron skillet for this too, because, I mean, cornbread in an iron skillet is just yummy.
Okay.
So in a mixing bowl, add your pumpkin, your milk, your egg, your sugar, and your melted butter. Mix that all well. Add your Jiffy cornbread mix until that is all combined. Try not to overmix the batter. Pour it into your prepared baking pan and place in the oven and bake for about 45 minutes or until a toothpick comes out clean. Remove from the oven and cool. Cut into squares and top with some butter and honey if you prefer. And enjoy.
A little bit of honey there. That would be really good. In case you haven't noticed over the course of the past several months, an iron skillet is kind of a must in the kitchen.
Well, I mean, and the one funny thing, so we got our iron skillet and I started using it, and my parents came over and they were like, "You're using your iron skillet on your glass top?" Because we have a glass
cooktop range.
Yeah, cooktop range. And I was like, "Yeah." And mom was like, "You're not supposed to, you can't do that." And I'm like, "Why?" And she's like, "It could break your range." I'm like, "Well, yeah, if you drop it on top of it, it might."
We've never had any problems with
that. If you're careful and you use it, need to be careful, but I love the way an iron skillet cooks your food evenly compared to some.
And a season, nothing like a seasoned iron skillet. Yes. It really is good.
The flavor is just amazing.
If you don't have one, I just bring it up because here again, you were saying you do this in the iron skillet.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, it is definitely worth the investment because they're not cheap. No, but you will.
We got ours over at Jeffrey's Antiques, so it wasn't too bad.
You will definitely get your money's worth out of it if you go and get a.
I love my iron skillet.
Get an iron skillet. Yes. And, okay, so For dessert, your dessert recipe here is peanut butter cereal bars.
So a couple weekends ago, our son got married, mm-hmm. and the granddaughters, we were all in a house together, and the girls like the Reese Puff cereal. Mm-hmm. And so I got some for them, and we were munching on it, and I was like, you know what? That would be good with, instead of Rice Krispies, the Reese. Oh my gosh, so yummy. So okay. Here we go.
So that was the inspiration
for
this.
For this. So 6 cups of peanut butter puff cereal, 4 tablespoons of butter, 10 ounce, 1 small bag of marshmallows. So coat a large microwave safe dish with nonstick spray. Add your marshmallows and your butter. Heat them in the microwave until melted, 1 to 2 minutes, depending on your microwave. Mm-hmm. Then remove the dish from the microwave. Stir the butter and marshmallow until smooth. If it's not quite smooth yet, then put it back in just for a few seconds. Don't go minutes, go seconds. So
You don't want to overdo it.
20 seconds.
Yeah.
Take it back out, mix it. Once all your lumps are gone, then you're good to go. Add your cereal and fold that all together, and then make sure your marshmallow, it's completely coated. All your cereal is coated with all that yummy marshmallow stuff. Line a 9 by 13 inch pan with parchment paper. Spray with nonstick spray. Pour the cereal mixture into the pan. Use a spatula or your hands. I just spray my hands with a little bit of cooking spray and pat it down because, you know, it's just easy. Okay. So, all right. Just make sure it's all even and cool, and then slice your bars and enjoy.
Simple as that. Really, it's really, really easy
and really good.
Same principle as the Rice Krispie treats, but with the peanut butter puff cereal.
Yes. Oh, which, my gosh.
So again, yummy. This time of year. There
you go. Why not?
So the recipes for the one pot cheesy taco orzo, the easy pumpkin cornbread, and the peanut butter cereal bars are on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yep.
At Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook is where you find that. If you don't follow the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, be sure to do so. Get all of those recipes each and every week, and who knows what other fun stuff. If you have something that you would like to share, you can share it direct right there on the Facebook page. You can also email us goodmornings@wfin.com. Yep. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the program, just in time for National Teen Driver Safety Week, a new resource to help parents impress upon their kids and remind themselves about the importance of staying focused behind the wheel. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.